Welcome to Feeding His Sheep podcast, brought to you by A.T. Stewart & Sons Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. Today's message is brought to you by my son, Josh, who is one of the teaching pastors at Summit Church in Naples, Florida. So let's open up God's Word and see what He would say to us today.
Welcome to Summit Church. My name is Josh Stewart. I'm one of the pastors here, and I have the great honor to be able to communicate God's Word with you today. If you've been with us over the last several months, we're actually wrapping up in the next few weeks a sermon series called So the World May Know, and we've been looking at the Upper Room Discourse, which is John chapter 13 all the way through 17. And today we find ourselves at the very end of John chapter 16, the last eight verses. And what's interesting is this is actually the last words that the Gospel of John records Jesus telling his disciples before he's arrested. And so this is some the last words we're leading up. Next week, we'll talk about the high priestly prayer the next several weeks. And so these are some important words. Every word Jesus says is important. But it's interesting for us to pay close attention to the words that Jesus is saying today, what he's speaking to the disciples, and what you and I, even today, can take this truth and apply it to our lives. So we're going to be in John chapter 16, verses 25 through 33. But before we dive into God's word, let's pray together. Lord, we are so thankful. I'm so thankful for every single person that is in this room today, that they're here because you desire for them to be here. As a Holy Spirit, we pray that you would speak the truth of your word into their lives, O Lord. There's so many people carrying so many burdens and the trials and the tribulation that they're going through. I'm aware of some of them, but there's many of them that I have no idea. But you, Lord, you know exactly what they're going through. And so I pray today, Lord, that they would feel ministered to in a specific, personal way because you are a personal God. That you would meet them where they are, Holy Spirit. That you would work in their hearts and in their souls as your word is preached. But I pray, Lord, that you would overcome me, right? An imperfect vessel, Lord, that you would overcome my fumbling of my words, that you overcome my insecurities, that you'd overcome the baggage I bring to the table, Lord, and that you would be strong through my weakness. That the people in this room would hear a better sermon that I preach, and that your word and the truth of Jesus Christ would be on their hearts and in their minds as they leave today. I also, Lord, I'm so thankful we're not the only Gospel Center church here in Southwest Florida. Thankful for the churches, Lord, that stand on the truth of God's word that we can partner with. Bless them this morning. Work within them. I pray for churches like First Baptist Naples, for Faith Bible, for Centerpoint, for Compass Church, for First Presbyterian Bonita, for Covenant Presbyterian, all the amazing churches that are out there, Lord, that preach Christ crucified. Bless those churches today. Work in the hearts and the souls of those men as they proclaim the gospel. We're so thankful, Lord, for all that you are, for all that you've done. Your servants are listening today. Speak to us through your word. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. And so let's read together John chapter 16, starting in verse 25 and going down to verse 33. Jesus speaking says to his disciples, "As I said these things to you in figures of speech, the hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father, I've come into the world, and now I'm leaving the world and going to the Father." So Jesus speaks to his disciples and says, "I've been speaking to you in figures of speech," right? And we see that throughout the Upper Room Discourse. He speaks to them about the vine and the branches. We see last week he talked about a woman getting childbirth, that he'd been speaking to them in figures of speech. But he says, "A day is coming when I will speak to you more plainly about the Father." And he reminds them of how much the Father loves them because they love him and believe in him. And then he even talks about his ministry, that "I came down from the Father, accomplished the things I need to in the world, and now I'm going back to the Father," right? He's talking about after his death and his resurrection. And look how the disciples respond to what Jesus says in verse 29. His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." So disciples get really excited about Jesus' words. And I actually don't think Jesus was saying right there that he was talking plainly. I think he was talking about after his resurrection. But regardless, the disciples get excited that Jesus is talking more plainly than he was. And as they get excited, they make a statement of faith, a statement of belief in who Jesus is. They say, we have no need to question you. We believe that you have come from God, right? What a great statement of faith by the disciples. And you would think in this moment that Jesus would, man, give them a fist bump or a high five, you know, affirm them. Yes, what you believe is true. Absolutely. But Jesus actually takes another route. Jesus actually kind of pushes a little bit on their statement. Jesus actually challenges them a little bit. Look what it says in verse 31. It says, Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come. When you will be scattered, each of his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so Jesus says to the disciples, man, you believe this, the statement that you're saying right now, like the confidence that you have, I want you to know that an hour is coming. In fact, it's already come. That you will soon be scattered. That the statement that you say in such boldness will soon be weak because you will be gone and scattered about in just a matter of moments. And I won't be alone, though. The Father will be with me. And then in verse 33, he makes a statement to them. He says, I am saying these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And so what we're going to do in the remainder of our time today is we're just going to focus on verse 33. We're going to focus on the words that Jesus speaks to his disciples and see in these words today the truth that you and I need to also hear today. And that was exactly what the disciples needed to hear Jesus say. And it's exactly what you and I need Jesus to say as well. And so there's three things, three statements that is made that are made here in verse 33, and we're going to walk through each of them together. And the first statement, which seems very interesting, is the statement Jesus says that in this world, you will have tribulation. Right, what an interesting statement that Jesus says to his disciples. Right? He talks about the tribulation that are about to come when they scatter about. And then he says, you will have trials. You will have hardships. You will have tribulation. Not that you might have it or you could have it or there's a possibility, but he makes an imperative statement. You will have tribulation in this world. And I think often for us as believers, those who have trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we often kind of wonder why we have to go through trials and tribulation, right? We often think, man, like I am finally living the way that I'm supposed to live, right? Like I've submitted myself to Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm now living according to God's word. So shouldn't we be the people? Shouldn't I be the person that doesn't have to deal with trials? I'm living the way that I'm supposed to live. I can understand if the world around me is going through hardships, but why me? I'm living the way God has called and designed for me to live. But then we hear statements by Jesus that says, regardless, you actually will have tribulations. And often it's because we do believe in Jesus. Hardships are for all of us. We will experience it. Even if you look at the life of Jesus, that Jesus himself, the perfect, righteous one, never did anything wrong, always did everything according to God's will. He even experienced trials and tribulation in his own life. Think about the sinfulness that he dealt with the people around him, who falsely accused him, who said things about him that weren't true, that didn't believe the statements that were true about him, that he experienced the hardships of living in a world that was sinful and run by sinful men and sinful women. And then you have Jesus, even it led to his death, right? That they falsely said that what he's saying wasn't true, and it even cost him his life, the trials that he experienced there. Even the trials that he experienced, even just being part of a broken, fallen world. Think about like the death and the sickness that he was constantly encountering in his own life and without his ministry. I even think about his own father, Joseph. It's interesting because after Jesus is the age of 12, they don't talk about Joseph anytime out in the ministry of Jesus. None of the Gospels do. They talk about Mary, they talk about his brothers, they talk about his sisters, but they never mention Joseph. And most people believe, including myself, that there's a good possibility he died. And Jesus had experienced the trial and the hardships of death and living in a world that is plagued by death. And he also had Satan, right? The enemy that was always consistently attacking Jesus. We think about in the desert for 40 days. We know the temptations that happened there, but they didn't end after that.
We see consistently he's being countered by demons and people who are oppressed with demons and obsessed with them. So they are often coming to Jesus. And this is the attacks of the enemy to send Jesus through trials and tribulations. Jesus, on this earth, the perfect Son of God, experienced trials and hardships. And you and I, as followers of Jesus, we will also experience it. And there's kind of three major categories that these hardships and these tribulations kind of happen within our lives. And so the three things that we see that normally cause tribulation is the first, it's normally caused by sin. It's a major category that the hardships that you are experiencing today, there's a good possibility it's the result of sin. It's the sinful behavior of other people. The people who are sinning against you or saying things about you that aren't true, that are being mean towards you and cruel towards you in the words and in their actions, and you experience the weight of those trials. Maybe someone isn't directly attacking you, but they're making their own sinful decisions, and you are bearing the consequences of those decisions because you love them and you care for them. We have spouses who sin against each other. We have family members. We have roommates. We have coworkers, best friends that sin against us and cause hardships and trials. But not only is it sin from the people outside, right, but even with our own heart, that we often are plagued by our own sin, that we respond to situations, react to situations, do things and say things that are sinful, and we have to bear the trials and the tribulation that comes with that. Tribulation is caused often in our lives by sin, but not only that, but it's also often caused by death. That's another major category. That each of us have dealt with loved ones in our lives who have passed away. Ones that we grieve and we mourn because we have lost ones that we care so deeply about, that death is real and it's all around us. Even our own death, that each of us will inevitably experience one day. We have to think about it, and it can haunt most of us and a lot of us in this room. But not even the trial of just death itself, but even the things leading to death. Think about sickness and disease and health issues that we're dealing with and the hardships and the struggles that come when we deal with those things in our lives on a regular basis. Tribulation caused by death and the things even leading up to death. And then lastly, the third category we see is tribulation caused by Satan. That we have a real enemy. That it says in John 10:10 that his goal is to kill, steal, and destroy. As Peter reminds us that he's like a prowling lion ready to devour us. The spiritual attack is real. And the enemy is attacking those who love Jesus. That he's tempting us, he's oppressing us, that there is real spiritual attack that you and I experience in this world in its fallen condition, that is hard and challenging, and we bear the trials that come with that. And so each of us in this room, we will experience trials and tribulation, often caused by sin, caused by death, caused by Satan. It will happen, each of us. And I know there's some of you in this room right now in this moment that you are experiencing such trials and hardships caused by one of these categories, maybe multiple ones, that you are currently overwhelmed. That you're confused, that you're frustrated, that you are angry and sad and afraid of all the things that could be happening to you or might happen to you, and you are bearing that burden right now. It is suffocating you. You don't know if you can go on. And if that's you today, I just want to start by saying, I am so sorry. I am so sorry that you were dealing with the consequences of living in a fallen and broken world. I am so sorry that you have to bear the trials and the tribulation that comes because of sin, because of death, and because of Satan. And I want you to know that as a church, we're here for you. As a church, we see you in your struggle, and we want to care for you and love you and minister to you while you're walking through the hardships of this world. And so the first news, right, the bad news is that each of us in this world, we experience trials and tribulation. That's the bad news. But man, by God's grace, there's good news. And the good news is that Jesus tells us that he has overcome the world. Jesus tells them that they will have trials, they will have tribulations, but he says, take heart, be of good cheer, be encouraged, because I have overcome the world. And so the second thing we see here is that Jesus, right, has overcome the world. That word can mean overcome. It can mean conquer. That Jesus is victorious over the world. And so what does he mean when he says that he was victorious over the world, that he's overcome the world? Well, he's not talking about like in a military sense. He's not talking about in a political sense. When he says that he's overcome the world, what he's talking about is in a spiritual sense. In a spiritual sense, he has conquered the world. And how did he do that? How did he conquer the world? Well, he did it through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection. It had not happened yet. Jesus spoke this words before he died and rose from the dead. But he was so certain that it would happen that he gave his disciples the promise, I have overcome the world